right. Welcome to Intentional Living. We're going to continue our discussion today with Ron Deal from earlier in the week. Ron is, he's kind of the guru on blended families, if there's such a thing. He's written many books, conferences, podcasts, lots of things, but one focus, he's very intentional. Ron is very intentional, and he focuses right. on blended families with family life blended. And we had... Boy, we had so many calls and we didn't get to most of them, so I'm going to try to get some of those on the air today. Dave and Barb and Ellie, hang on. We'll get to you and Robin and some questions for you all on blended families, not only during the holidays, but year-round. But I always say the holidays are like a tea bag in hot water. Whatever's in it comes out, where the rest of the year it might be in cold water. It still comes out, but not quite so dramatically as when it hits the hot water of the stress of Christmas. So, Ron, how you doing?
I'm good. Great to be back with you.
Appreciate it. We're talking about blended families, and I think what we'll do, we've got callers ready to go. Let's just get them on and take some calls, and I got some questions too. Dave has been waiting in Kansas. Hi, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Appreciate your call. What's going on this blended family topic in your home?
Okay. I am a great-grandfather of a blended family. Mm-hmm. My son married a young lady, a single mom who had a son 12 years of age, and he became my grandson immediately. Years went by. He grew up. He married. They have a son. He's 3 years old. I have a great-grandson now. Just recently, we were together, all of us, and the three sons. I said to my grandson and my great-grandson, though the three-year-old really wasn't partaking in the conversation, I said, he's my son. My son's my son. You are my grandson. And he, the little one, is my great-grandson. Do you know great is better? A great-grandson, great-great-grandson is better than a grandson. And a grandson is better than a son. And they all looked at me and I said, I love all three of you the same. The problem with this young man who has to deal with his mother is that she has a standard of measurement that is wrong. And if he goes along with her, he is compounding the problem. Two wrongs don't make a right.
Now, you're talking about your grandson or your great-grandson? You're talking about your grandson?
No, this son that his mother says, I'm not going to put a stocking up for my...
Oh, okay. For those who didn't hear, we were talking about that news article, that thing's been going around online with the grandmother that refuses to put up a stocking for the 9-year-old, stepson. Her step-grandson.
Her step-grandson, 9-year-old, Yes, and you're right.
If her son went along with her, then he is going to compound the problem. Can you imagine the problem that the mother and that child is going to go through? It's going to get worse. So he needs to take a stand. And, of course, not everybody goes by the same standard of measurement. We all have standards of measurements. You go to the store, you buy something for $20, you give them a $50 bill. If they give you back $10 and change, you're going to say, hey, wait a minute, something is wrong. Her standard of measurement is wrong, and he needs to say something. Something is wrong here.
Yeah, he needs to take the lead. We're talking about the son there that needs to step up and protect his family. You know, you talk about measurement, Dave. I was thinking one of the things we teach at Intentional Living is that we always judge ourselves by our good intention. We always judge ourselves by our intention. And I think in most situations during the holiday with blended families, most people have a good intention, not always, but good intention. But other people will always judge us not by my intention, but by their expectation. Whenever the expectation doesn't meet the intention, there's always going to be disappointment. There's always going to be conflict, or there's going to be a misunderstanding or passive aggressiveness or whatever else can show up in a family. And so that's a good reminder. All right. Go right ahead, Ron.
Randy, I could just say Dave is the kind of guy you want to be around, right? I mean, he just is open. He's exuding love. He's welcoming to everybody in his life and his family. What a contrast to the story that we were talking about, the woman who said, no, I don't think I'm going to include you. You know, I think people in our world today, we need to understand this. Like with politics and all the things that divide us, it's so easy to just say, nope, I'm over here and you're over there, and we're not going to be open to one another. that's not, we can talk about step grandmothers, or we can talk about how we deal with one another in the political realm, or how we deal with each other on the street, or we just have a different opinion about something that's happening in the world. When we cut people out and off, we're doing the same thing that grandmother's doing. Like, we should be more open, more loving, move toward people with kindness rather than moving away and cutting them out.
Have you noticed since COVID and during COVID, with all the stress in the world today, that blended families are, I mean, are we seeing an increase in divorce second times with blended families, or greater stress?
We don't have any hard data on that. You know, anecdotally, I would say, Randy, it's like a lot of things. It'll move you one way or the other. Sometimes it's moving people toward one another as family units. It's sort of forging new relationship for people that really didn't have that before the pandemic. But in other cases, the increase in stress is causing difficulty, and it is, you know, making it tough for families to stay together. I think the thing, you know, you say it, intentional. If you're just going to be a victim of the circumstances around you, then it's not going to be easy at all. Yeah. But if you're intentional within the circumstances around you, you can at least tackle it with the Lord's help and try to move it in the right direction.
Just a question about families that are maybe thinking of blending. They're, you know, during this is a holiday where there'll be probably some, you know, will you marry me on Christmas Eve type things. People are thinking of maybe putting a blended family together, and the kids seem happy, and they're different ages, but they seem happy. Does that tend to carry through at, whatever you see while you're dating tend to be what you see after a family gets together? What are some of the potholes, I guess, after people get married that they wake up and said, well, that wasn't the case when we were dating?
Well, first of all, let me just say, we got two resources on this very subject. Dating and the Single Parent is all about helping somebody go through the process of dating and making decisions for marriage. And then once you're engaged, we've got a resource called Preparing to Blend, which is, you know, really the premier tool for pastors also who want to do premarital counseling with couples forming blended families. And one of the things I'll talk about in those resources is yes and no. Dating is a bit of a window into the future once marriage takes place, but in many ways it's not. And part of that, Randy, is because for children and step parents, it's not real until it's real. You know, you're dating my mom and you're a nice guy and I like being around you, and you buy me ice cream and we seem to have a good time and you make my mom happy. And so, yeah, you're cool. And now you're married to my mom and you've just moved into our house and you brought your two children with you. And now you're telling me to clean my room. And I don't really like that. You know, that's where the rubber meets the road for a lot of blended families. And so all of a sudden, we've now got even more territory to navigate, and we don't have a map, and we're not exactly sure how to do that and honor one another in best ways. And so we end up stepping on each other's toes, and that creates conflict, and now we're struggling to figure out where to go. That's what we try to do, is help people with, in very practical terms, navigate that terrain so that it actually functions to bring you closer and help create familyness, as I like to say, rather than creating just more stress that ends up dividing you.
That's good. Good counsel. Ron Deal is here today, Family Life Blended, the topic on blended families during the holiday. Barbara is going to join us here from Michigan. Hi, Barbara. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. Appreciate your call. What's your comment today?
My comment is, if you date somebody that has children and then you decide to get married, you take them as a package. You love the children just as much as you love the person. If you cannot love their children, you have no business getting married to them. Mm-hmm. It is not stepbrother or stepsister. It is either your brother or your sister. God does not see us as stepchildren. We are in his family, which means there's no step. That to me is a bad word. It's not the children's fault because their parents didn't stay together, and nobody has the right to punish them because they are not biologically their children's child.
No, I agree with you. What do you think about that? Well, the term step family. I know you use blended.
Yeah.
What terminology matters, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. I love Barbara's heart and I love her attitude. I wish more people had that heart to say, no, you marry the package, you're going to love everybody. Sometimes you got to figure out how to like them, you know, because, but absolutely you give your heart to them and you want to do that. The terminology matters simply because people have, you know, loyalties. All of us have one mom, one dad that we put in a special place in our heart. And, nobody's ever going to remove them out of that place. So sometimes it's just problematic for people to say, you're my mom or you're my son or my daughter, just because they feel like, oh, you're sort of pushing somebody out of that spot when you try to step in, stepmother, as my mom. Well, I only have one mom. So it just creates a bit of an internal conflict that can be difficult. So one of the things we suggest to families is have a conversation about what you're going to call each other. Agree, co-create is the word I use. Co-create a language that everybody feels comfortable with. It could be that you keep the heart that Barbara is representing here. You want to love your stepchildren just like your children. And yet, you also want to honor the mom in their heart. If you're the stepmother, you never want to make them feel like you're competing with their mother for that spot in their heart. And so you ask them, what would you be comfortable me calling you when I introduce you in public or at church or with a friend or a neighbor? What do you want me to call you? And oh, by the way, let's talk about what you feel comfortable calling me. And you co-create that reality for today. And over time, the labels will change as the relationship grows and develops. But the heart that Barbara's talking about, the love, is always there no matter what terms you use.
That's great. Thank you, Barbara. Appreciate your call. Ellie, we'll get to you in Arizona here in just a moment. We're going to take a break in just a second here. When we come back, one of the questions I would ask is, you know, during the holidays, maybe you look at your ex-spouse and now they're remarried and they have a family and you don't approve of the way they live. You don't approve of the decisions they're making or how the whole family interacts, or vice versa. They don't approve of what's going on in your home. How do you handle that? I mean, what is a godly, biblical way? But sometimes you got people who are not too godly or too biblical. How do you deal with people who are being difficult? We'll get to that in a moment, but first a break.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. You know that feeling when you're going through something difficult and life just doesn't make sense?
When life makes no sense, you got to ask the question, does God have something going on bigger and better that I don't quite understand? When we're in the middle of God's purpose, then life can start to make sense.
In Dr. Randy's teaching, When Life Doesn't Make Sense, you'll learn about how God worked through Joseph's life in the Bible and how you can learn about God's plan for yours. This Christmas, when you support Intentional Living with a monthly donation, you'll get an early Christmas present just from us. You can listen to this message and get unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings whenever you want. So don't miss out on this special Christmas opportunity. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
And I hope you'll do that. When you do, you can push the prompt. They'll take you to our staff. They'll answer the call. We'd love to have you join in. And I just pray you'll do that. If you believe that living an intentional life in Christ and helping others know Him and then live intentionally matter, that you're making a difference. When you call 888-888-1717, press the prompt to talk to staff, or you can obviously go online at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. And we have that beautiful calendar. It's gorgeous. We're going to use it this next year with our grandkids. We'll get that calendar to you. Check it out again. TheIntentionalLife.com. Ron Deal is here on the phone or online with us. And by the way, on Facebook, if you're in on Facebook, you can check us out there as well, or of course on the air or through our podcast and to be a part of the show. And Ron is from Family Life Blended. This is his focus, working with blended families. And during the holidays, I don't agree with my ex-spouse, how they're handling the kids, vice versa. and I know we should talk and all that and make sense, common sense, but this not working. What are some ways of handling? When do you draw a boundary? When do you just say, hey, that's none of your business? I mean, how do you realistically handle the problems with an ex-spouse who doesn't agree with how things are going?
There's so many layers to that. I'm sure I'm not going to hit them all, but let me just say, at the end of the day, you want to try and respect the other parent for who they are, for the autonomy that they have, for the relationship they have with your child. And you never want to put your child in the middle of whatever disagreements there are between you and that former spouse. If there are significant moral issues going on in the other home that you really don't feel comfortable with, you're going to talk and teach Christ in your family, in your home. And your hope is that that child can carry that with them into the other home. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to turn it into a bashing situation of the other parent. Randy, let me say it this way. Everybody listening right now, all of us who have children, eventually send them into the world. The world in the form of kids, the world in the form of a smartphone, where they mm-hmm. have the world coming to them through influences, text, and the internet and whatnot. We send them to neighbors' houses and they spend the night. And we're not exactly sure what's going on over there. And we're hoping that our children can take Christ with them into those places. That takes a level of maturity. It takes a level of connection from us and support over time. Well, some families do that every other weekend, right? They send their child into the world, and that's the other household. And so you teach, you train, you talk, you build up, you try to encourage your child to carry that with them, knowing that it puts them in some very awkward situations. Dad says, we're going to all sit down and watch this R-rated movie. Mom would never let me watch that. Am I supposed to say no to this movie at dad's house and go to a bedroom and not watch? That's a really hard thing for a kid to do. There's so many things happening in that moment. And yet, sort of at the end of the day, that's what we're praying for. That's what we're hoping for. So that their level of maturity in Christ is empowered to make those hard decisions. Sometimes they will. Sometimes they won't. When they come back to your house, you teach, you train, you talk them through. What you never do is say your dad's a horrible person and don't you do what he says, because that damages the child's connection to their father. And let me tell you what that does. It says to this child, I say to love people, but I won't let you love your dad. And that disqualifies what a Christian parent is trying to teach a child, I think. I think that is hypocritical on its face, and kids, especially teenagers, will see it for what it is. And even though you're the one who feels a little morally upright, that prideful posture is going to turn against you. Your child's going to all of a sudden reject your values because of how you're presenting all of that. These are not easy circumstances. No. At the end of the day, you can't control or change who the other parent is. You can only be the parent that you are, and that's where your influence lies.
That's good. Good counsel. We're talking about the families that have the disagreements. And of course, the kids sometimes get caught in the middle of this.
Yeah.
During the holidays.
Caught in the middle.
But they're back and forth. And, Billy told me so-and-so. And the spouse calls the other ex-spouse and says, Billy told me so-and-so. And you're thinking, well, that isn't necessarily so. And do you sit down with Billy and say, Billy, if you got an issue, talk to me? How do you help kids not get, how do you help children not to be caught in the middle?
The old African proverb, when two elephants fight, it's the grass that suffers, comes to mind. fighting with the former spouse in front of the children just tramples them. Two elephants don't even pay attention to the grass when they're going at it. That's how kids get caught into the emotional bind of mom and dad continuing to be at war with one another. You don't want to be Russia and Ukraine. All right. Mm-hmm. Your job is to be the US and Canada. I mean, get along, like each other, have a border where children can move back and forth. And there's not a hostility that encaptures them. When a child is caught in hostility, perhaps coming from the other home, you kind of bleed with them. You cry with them. You grieve with them. I am so, so sorry. Your mom's saying to you this, that, or the other thing about us, about you, about life, about the world. I realize that puts you in a really difficult situation. Do you want to talk about that? And then you pause and you realize they may or may not talk to you about that because it's about their mom, and they know that that's giving you ammunition and, you know, making it harder for you to have a good co-parent relationship. Kids are not dumb. They're savvy to this whole political climate that happens between households. And they're often trying to be the peacekeepers at their own demise. You can do what you can do. At the end of the day, Randy, our influence in co-parenting comes through the adult-adult relationship. You can try to forge an ambassador type relationship. If you're Ukraine, you do want to try to figure out how to speak to Russia and bring some peace. At the end of the day, that's where the peace will come, not with the child. You're going to support the child, encourage it. You're going to just try to help them deal with what they have to deal with. But you're not going to fix the relationship between the two countries unless you're dealing directly with Russia in this case.
Yeah.
Those are hard, hard circumstances. We all know Putin's not backing down in the real world in Russia and Ukraine. And the Putins of life often don't back down. And so you have to do what you have to do to try to support your child and create an environment where your country is as Christ-like as you can be. Now, sometimes that means you hold the other country accountable. Sometimes that means you involve other authorities. They won't listen to you. They will listen to the court. You know, those are moments you don't want to make those frequent because it comes with a great cost. But from time to time, that's a situation where you got to involve somebody else. I mean, no easy answers.
No.
Right? Obviously, the whole world is trying to figure out how to get Russia to back off. We haven't been successful yet. It just goes to the point. Certain people are really evil. And Romans 12 says what? Don't repay evil with evil, but repay evil with good, because that's how you bring about change. The good can overwhelm the evil. Paul's language there is heap burning coals onto the heads of those who are evil. In other words, you can soften even a hard heart with enough warmth. That's a goal to shoot for. No promise, no guarantee about that, but that's who we're called to be.
Ron Deal, Family Life Blended. Today, we're in the deep end of the pool talking about some of the real tough issues. I'm going to come to the surface, and we're going to ask some Christmas questions in particular about gift giving and competition and guilt and trying to buy happiness in blended families.
We all sort of know
that doesn't work, but we'll find out how to handle it. Let's take a break, Alex. We'll be right back with Ron Deal. More on blended families in about 2 minutes. But Joseph was intentional in honoring his family, even when they didn't honor him at all. In fact, even in the end, I'm pretty convinced if you look at the end and read it and study it, I think his brothers came to him out of fear and desperation, not out of, hey, we want to reconnect, can we have a kumbaya moment? I don't think that was it at all. These guys were starving to death and they were in trouble, and they knew that their baby brother was in a position of power and could help them. And he honored them, even though he didn't have to.
That's an excerpt from the lesson this month on When Life Doesn't Make Sense. It's available on our member site. And as members, take advantage of this teaching. Share it with your family. I hope you're encouraged by it. Share it with your pastor. Maybe he'll find some opportunity to take some of the things that we teach and apply it to the lessons that he's bringing every Sunday. That's what we want to do, to extend and support each other. And for those who are joining today in monthly support, we'll make sure you get access to these lessons. How do you do that? You can call during West Coast business hours at 888-888-1717. Press number 2, talk to our staff, or go online anytime to theintentionallife.com. And when you're there, again, hit that little donate icon, and we thank you for your support. All right, looking at my calendar today, Friday, it's the 19th. Boy, just a few days away from Christmas, isn't it? But this has a special significance in our life as well. Today happens to be Stephen Davis's birthday, and he's an old man. Happy birthday, Stephen. Stephen's the producer of the show, and thank you for your service, Stephen. Thank you for all you're doing, and I hope you celebrate and have a great day. But also in our household, it's our daughter's birthday today. Andrea, she and her family, her husband and three kids, live in West Africa and serve with Samaritan's Purse in mission and ministry and outreach. And we're so proud of them. praying for them on a regular basis and looking forward to spending some time as they come back to visit during this Christmas time. And then also, it happens to be their wedding anniversary. Chris and Andrea were married on this day. So we got birthdays and anniversaries. It's a special day for the Carlsons, for sure. All right, with Christmas just around the corner with my birthday. Wow, what a busy month. All right, Ron, we've got just 2 minutes left, my friend. Let's talk a little more about Christmas.
You know, we wrote a book with a couple of guys, The Smart Step Family Guide to Financial Planning. And one of the issues we talk about is this. You know, sometimes people will give biological children or grandchildren $100 gifts and only $50 gifts to the steps. You know, in a moment like that, we want to appeal to equity. You know, gift giving is never really equal. You don't give a 16-year-old the same thing you give of a 2-year-old. You know, the dollar amounts are different, yet you're giving something that's developmentally appropriate and it still is warm to the heart to that 2-year-old or to that 16-year-old. Same thing's true of biological and step children. You want to give equitably in a way that blesses them, that honors them, that communicates value and love to them. That's what you're going to ask people to do. Well, I know, but I just got a longstanding relationship with this 16-year-old. I barely even know this 9-year-old step grandchild. I don't even know, you know, what they like. Or I realize it's awkward. It's difficult. And yet you want to give something to them that makes them feel valued. And that's the bottom line.
You know, and of course, you always have the issue sometimes where you have a Christian family and they're celebrating Christmas as a, you know, as a holiday that we celebrate the birth of Christ. And you might have the other family saying, that's not true. And they take a different belief. And again, I think you go back to the principles you were sharing earlier. As a blended family, you can only do what you can do. You love your kids. You care for your kids. You teach them the truth. Because I've always said, hey, kids are not dumb. When they grow up, they'll look back and they'll be able to separate truth from lie, love from manipulation and all the things. So be the kind of person in that family that you want your kids to become. All right. Hey, Ron, thanks for joining us. And again, Ron has a podcast on blended families that'll be very helpful for you called Family Life Blended, correct? Blended. That's where they find it. And of course, a lot of resources through Family Life Blended as well. And Ron Deal is the chief in charge of everything over there in the blended family world. So, hey, Ron, thanks for joining me today. And I hope you have a great Christmas with your family.
Thank you very much. Merry Christmas to you, Randy. It's good to be here.
Yeah, you too. And God bless you. And thanks for being a part of our Intentional Living broadcast here at Family Life Communications. And also for what you do through Family Life Blended to help so many families that need some encouragement. And maybe today we got you thinking about some things. The principles, remember again, you always judge yourself by your intentions, but others are judging you by their expectations. All right, have a great day. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.